This is the Adam Gold Show.
Yeah, Cal Makar is good. Only.
But Cal Maker, though.
Cal Maker, right.
Great NASCAR driver.
Hobie Baker Award, best college hockey player. Calder Trophy, best rookie. He hasn't won the Hart yet. He's going to.
He's trending in that direction.
He is going to.
He is trending in that
direction. I mean, what a player. What an absolute beast he is. You know, we talked about it before and during the Stanley Cup Finals. Colorado in front of the goaltender is just better.
Mm-hmm.
And Darcy Kuemper was good enough. He didn't have to be their best player. He just had to not screw it up. And guess what? Darcy Kuemper didn't screw it up. Now, he played really well, so I'm not trying to give him a backhanded compliment. Colorado will likely try to retain him on a reasonable salary, something in the neighborhood of between $4 and $5 million. But they ain't going to pay him like, you know, he's Andre Vasilevsky. They're not going to pay him $8 million a year because there's a lot of guys who could step in and do that. You know, if they don't, if Kuemper prices himself out, they could go just trade for Gorgiev from the Rangers. Seriously, they just go get Gorgiev, be done with it. Or they could trade for Freddie Anderson. And Anderson could win a cup with the, I'm not suggesting that the Hurricanes should do that, but Colorado's absolutely awesome. They've got, surprisingly, a fair amount of cap space. They can bring back a lot of that team. Now, there's going to be guys that are going to get more money. Kadri's going to get more money. Lekkonen, Nikushkin, Burakovsky, those guys are all going to get raises. But they can almost afford it for another year. Nathan MacKinnon is probably going to make more than the 6.3 he makes now in 2 years. Just going to guess.
That guy's a steal right now. His contract?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I told you that his next contract would be 10.5, you'd go, that's kind of a steal too.
Yeah.
He is just awesome. Absolutely awesome. So congratulations. I thought it was a fun Stanley Cup Finals. I thought the best team won. I also think that the best team had to earn it by going through the best champion. So Tampa was so banged up. But, man, they made you think it's possible. They just couldn't get enough out of the guys not named Kucherov, Palat, and Stamkos. Just couldn't get enough out of those other guys. All right. It's listener's choice. Let's listen. So we asked you to determine what we should talk about here. Opt-ins?
Nobody cares.
Celebrity boxing?
Nobody cares.
Rod Brindamore getting screwed out of a Hall of Fame berth?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people care. Just not as many as ACC scheduling changes to football. And I am here for it. I applaud this. We have been talking about this for a long, long time. I suggested back in the day that the ACC completely scrap their model altogether and just let the commissioner and a panel determine the football schedule with whatever is best for the league and television. I mean, I blatantly suggested this for basketball when your schedule is absolutely irrelevant, because as long as if you're good, you're going to make the tournament.
Yeah. Which at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Right. That's it. That's basketball. Football, you have to be a little bit more sensible about it. But now we have, rather than divisions, and we'll play in division for one more year, which of course, just trash. But starting next year, 3 permanent partners for each school. And then you'll play half of the remaining 10 schools 1 year. And then 3 years later, you'll play the other half of the remaining schools. So you'll play the first 5, the first group of 5, whatever that is, in years 1 and 2 of the rotating schedule. Mm-hmm. And then the next group of 5 in years 3 and 4. And you'll just flip the home and away. in those 2 years each time. I would have rather kind of alternated this five, next five, this five, next five, but it's not that big a deal. But I would have rather done that, but again, not a big deal. So what we're going to now deal with is who gets the easier permanent partners. So for a long time, you know, state would their only permanent partner would be Carolina, right? They're in the same they've been in the same division with Wake, and I know that State and Wake have played basically every year since the earth cooled. That's not going to be the case anymore. Now, they will play the first 2 years, I believe. Actually, maybe not. To go and look at it. Whether it's the first 2 years or not, it's eventually going to end. And State and Wake will go 2 years without playing. Maybe during that time, they'll schedule a non-conference game. Wake likes to do that. I think it's terrible, but Wake likes to do that. But that's the new way of the world. So State's three permanent partners are Carolina, Duke, Clemson. How about a textile bowl every year?
Yeah.
Very nice. Carolina's three permanent partners are State, Duke, and Virginia, South's oldest rivalry. Very good. Wake's permanent partners are Duke, Georgia Tech, and Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech sounds random to me, mm-hmm. but okay, fine. And I guess to an extent, so does Virginia Tech. But at least it's one other sort of longtime ACC school. Georgia Tech joined the league, what, 1970-something?
Something like that. Well, at least I know Virginia Tech is relatively close to Wake Forest. It's just a trip up 77, hit 81, and you're basically
proximity
there.
Doesn't do it for me.
Sure.
Because proximity, I mean, look, we have members in the same, like Boston College and Miami are in the same league. Actually, speaking of Boston College and Miami, as old Big East schools, they'll play. Right?
Yeah.
They sort of have done that. I think BC gets Syracuse, Miami, and like
Boston College gets Miami, Pitt, and Syracuse.
And Pitt, right.
So the Big East.
The old Big East. Yeah. And that's good. Like, you want to keep rivals together as best you can. And that's the way you should do it. That's the way they should have always done it. And I've been arguing for years that these contrived divisions would give us faux rivalries. Man, the State-Syracuse rivalry goes... Yeah, exactly. The Virginia-Pitt rivalry. No. What?
I know Virginia and Louisville have been in the same division, but I forget who I was talked to about that. That's actually kind of built up into like a kind of a grudge game. So they did keep them in their
been a basketball permanent partner for Virginia, which honestly, not only can't I understand, I don't understand it.
I don't know either.
But it's been the least watchable game in college basketball almost every year.
I can believe that.
And we've had to endure two of those games because Virginia and Louisville, when Louisville was coached by Rick Pitino, both play maddening defensive styles. And those games ended up being rock fights. So they were awful, awful basketball games to watch. But now they've been in different divisions in football, but they've been permanent partners. And I don't really understand. Virginia, what do Virginia and Louisville have in common? But they will continue to be permanent
partners. No one likes them?
I mean, yeah, I think, but no one likes them for different reasons.
Sure.
No one, I don't know. There's enough to like about Virginia, so I've been told. So, but look, just to get back to the issue, this is where the ACC should have been going. 8-game conference seasons. Notre Dame will still be part of the schedule eventually. And I keep saying this because I do believe that one day it will happen. Notre Dame will be part of the league. We'll have a 16th team, and you'll have three schools in your little quadrant, and then you'll rotate around to the other, one other quadrant of four, and then one additional school. And we'll have 8-game conference schedules. I think that's what we're ultimately going to get. I wish they could flip and get rid of divisions this year. Just keep the schedules as they are, but get rid of divisions. But that is not going to be the case. Darren Revelle of the Action Network joins us here on the Adam Gold Show. Everybody's interested in Liv, yay or nay, because there's a lot of interesting things. I was having a discussion, Darren, with a friend of mine who is, I don't know if angry is the right word, and I said, look at it from this perspective. We do radio for a living. It's an interesting topic at a time where we don't have a lot of interesting things to talk about. I can be selfish, right?
I agree. These guys are getting, whether you say they're getting their ROI or not, they don't care whether they're getting their ROI, return on investment at all. But they're certainly getting their return on investment for mind share. I mean, they are occupying so much of the space. And in a way, this has been the most exciting non-major thing to talk about in golf history. And for me, as a sports business guy, who's been ho-hum, I've covered everything. I've done this for 22 years. Yeah. I'm just going to fill in the Mad Lib, and at this time of year, this is what I talk about. This is something that has never hit my radar. A rival league that has a $600 billion that the incumbent, who has a 60-year history, cannot compete with them.
Right.
That's never happened in the history of sports. So this is really, really intriguing. And how do you evaluate, so Rory is, going nuts and saying it's unethical to deal with the Saudis, but, how connected is he to Nike, where, they go into places that don't have labor unions to make his clothes.
Right.
Anyway, it's very intriguing.
Here's the thing about this, and I have not heard the only person that I have heard that has really kind of hung his hat on, an anti-Saudi Arabia message is Brandel Chambly of Golf Channel.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
or to an extent, Eamon Lynch, who writes extensively for Golf Week. For the most part, I think Rory and people connected with golf have talked about this from a PGA Tour versus LIV Tour sort of an angle, with the notion that because of the unlimited money, and it is essentially bottomless money, there's no end. There is an end, but we're just never going to get to the end. It's sort of like space. So I assume that somewhere there's an end to outer space. I just don't know where it is. There's an end to Saudi money. But regardless of the source or the regime, the money is unavoidable because, as you said, the PGA Tour cannot compete, and the Saudis are not looking for a return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever ROI they want has nothing to do with golf.
Correct.
It has only to do with their image and everything about it. But I wanted to ask you this.
And by the way, that could be the downfall. In other words, if they don't get – they need a couple more big players, and it's assumed that that will happen. But if they don't get it and – golf is just, you have to believe that as a high-profile athlete, now maybe not Phil Mickelson towards the end of his career, who gives a crap, but you have to believe that if you're Bryson DeChambeau and you're like, okay, I'm winning and I now have $100 million, but there's no credibility and I'm bored and I'm not playing against the best, does that matter? Or the chance that I can get to be in the majors, at least four times a year, I'm competing against the best, and that's enough for me.
It depends on a couple of things. One, it depends on how much they do really care. How much of it is a money grab, which is fine. I'm not knocking it, but right now, to me, LIV is only a money grab. Mm-hmm. There's no other argument for the LIV Golf Series. And again, I will say, I'm sad that they were not interested in sports radio, because why not? Say that sort of as a joke. Anyway, so I don't know that that it really matters to those guys.
So you could get your $7 million a year deal.
I would hope
they don't care.
I hope it would be more. I mean, to be honest, I'm not leaving for $7 million, Darren. I mean, I'm not leaving all of this just for $7 measly million. Darren Revelle, Action Network, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. But here's the other thing I was curious about, because the initial fallout for Phil Mickelson leaving, and also it was all the comments, obviously, that had a lot to do with it. KPMG, Workday, Heineken, because he does Amstel, and I guess it's the same company. Callaway paused their relationship, and Phil is out there with no signage at all. Some other guys lost a couple of endorsements. DJ lost RBC because he spurned that event. I think, who is it? Bryson DeChambeau lost Rocket Mortgage. Nobody else has lost any, you know.
Brooks has not lost Nike.
Right. So, and we still see DJ and Brooks on commercials and DeChambeau in commercials. What is the fallout? Because you're not on TV anymore. These guys are only going to be on TV one more time this calendar year. What's the fallout?
There has to be some sort of deduction written in. They're not being seen. What they agreed to is not what they got. So there's got to be some sort of deduction.
What about for like a guy who's not yet at the not really at the top? So let's just say Kevin Na, who's got a sponsor. He's got a bunch of sponsorship. He's a walking billboard, and that's fine. But he's got Callaway on his hat.
He's not going to get. He likely will not get. You know, the money is not going to be sponsorships. The money is all. I mean, the sexiness over this is the guaranteed money. I don't know why the PGA Tour then comes out and goes, well, we're going to offer $20 million more. Hey, that's if I win. I have to win. I don't have to win on this other tour.
Right.
I just show up. I get an appearance fee.
That's exactly what it is. If I were Brooks Koepka, or let's use Bryson DeChambeau here, and they paid me $100 million over 3 years, that's probably not a good deal.
I agree.
I mean, you're going to make between 5 and 10 in just in golf. And then everything that comes after that. See, I don't. So it must be per year because the Saudis can pay that.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It's you know, the only thing I could say within golf that kind of like throws out the rules of everything that you've come to learn is this is like the Augusta concessions. They don't care about making money.
They don't.
It is what it is. And it's strange. Fascinating to cover, though.
To me, it's one of the most fascinating stories of the entire year, regardless of where we are in the season.
Agreed.
Final thing for you about this, because you said that they still need a few more top guys. I actually think that they have enough right now to keep it going for a minimum of two, I think, longer years, because they don't care as long as they put a credible product out. And I've always argued that people don't really recognize like great football versus mediocre football. As long as it's football, that's good. And for golf fans, I mean, I watched the first event. I watched enough of it in London, outside of London. It looked like every other European Tour golf tournament I've ever watched. The crowds were okay.
It does look like the Euro Tour, but I think they need a couple more people, and it doesn't need to be huge.
Well, what they have now, I think what they have now, I actually made a list of it. They've got 8 of the top 50 in the world, and they've got an additional 12 in the top 100, and of that number, one is Phil, the other is Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia. They've got a bunch of guys that people know.
Yep.
That's enough.
Yep.
It's not great.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that though, because the people that are there, you know, whether it's Poulter and Sergio, you can argue, even though Sergio had his Masters, you could argue, you know, they're near the end.
Oh, absolutely.
Not consistent. Even Oosthuizen not consistent. Lee Westwood obviously not. Who the hell, you know, when was the last time it's Graham McDowell too, right?
I did not list Graham McDowell. Graham McDowell. Most everybody on that tour is at the end.
I'm just giving you Euro
right.
people. You know, You know, but do they, I feel like they need like a Xander Schauffele or a Max Homa or a Zalatoris or, you know, just one more American guy.
On the way up, not somebody on the way down.
And I also think, well, this Eugenio Chicharro, whatever his name is, you know, like, okay, that's fine. Let's see a golfer come out of the college ranks in America go straight to live. That's also another point for me.
He sort of qualifies. I think he was at Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. So,
yeah, I know. I'm just thinking about an American.
No, I totally understand.
It does make a difference. It's not being ethnocentric, but it's just like Americans think of the PGA Tour.
No question.
Even if someone plays in college, you know, Europeans think about the Euro Tour, which has never been as strong.
Here's the interesting thing, Darren, is that the only guy on the roster of LIV Tour players who really satisfies this is Taylor Gooch, and not enough people know his name. That is an up-and-coming young player. And of all the players that signed, that was the one that surprised me. Bryson DeChambeau, you could argue his body might be deteriorating based on what he has put it through. Brooks Koepka is definitely a candidate for surgery.
What's interesting about Taylor is that, like, he's just recently gotten really, really good.
Yep.
You know, but he's 30. You know, like, again, like, I feel like he looks younger than he is. But, you know, again, I'm looking for the 21-year-old, you know, who has everything in front of him and takes the LIV Tour.
If Colin Morikawa were to come out, or as you said, Xander Schauffele or a Patrick Cantlay, and there have been rumors about both, by the way, but Morikawa has definitely refuted that when he talked about pouring cereal into his milk. If one of those guys went, it would be a problem.
Shot that down.
He did. No, and for the first time, though, he shot it down emphatically and clearly. He has hedged at almost every time that I have heard him discuss this. Darren Revelle, Action Network, you are a gentleman, sir. Back to the rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
So the tournament starts Thursday. I know there's a bunch of protests, whatever. Like, that's why I keep trying to avoid that, the geopolitical conversation about this.
Mm-hmm.
If you start it, it's just like pulling a thread. I mean, you're just going to end up, there's so much dirty money throughout, not just sports, everywhere. So to me, I'm not saying it's an invalid argument. But I think it's an argument that there are too many easy shots to take back. Even though I think that most of them are false equivalents, it's still, I mean, China is a problem too, right? So it's, to me, it's just not, it's not the winning argument. It's not the winning argument for that conversation. And if the goal is to say this is better than this, then make the argument about the game itself. I think LIV is bad for the game. It's unnecessary for the game. The competition is not competition. That was the most popular argument on Twitter over the weekend. Would players still try to win the same way? Yeah. But I also think that, forget about trying to win. On a PGA Tour event, it matters. There are points for World Golf Rankings. There are none of these involving LIV at this point. But there are, like, if you finish 10th, there's incentive to fight your way from 20th to 15th, from 14th to 8th. There's an incentive there to do that that really does not exist in LIV. It just doesn't. Yes, trying to win is different than trying to claw your way up the rankings. For instance, real quick, Chesson Hadley's friend of this program. Hadley had a really good final round, shot a 64, 6 under par in Connecticut last week, and earned enough FedEx Cup points to get from outside the two, like 225 to like 160. Still needs to get into the 125. But he got enough points because of his top, I think it was a top five finish, T5, that he's now, he doesn't have to do something miraculous over the next few weeks to get up into the top 125. Last year, he shot a great final round at Wyndham to get into the top 125 and keep his card for next year. These are things that will not exist on LIV. They won't. They're tournaments within tournaments. That does not happen for that other series, the other tour, whatever you want to call it. I mean, if you want to watch it, I am not telling you not to. I'm not telling you not to. I'm not telling you not to support it. I'm just telling you the difference between the two. All right, we have reached the half. Let's do it, Dennis.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
Do they ever put just 1 minute on the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had no time on the board before.
I don't know. We have. But I'm just speaking, you know, being the soccer supporter.
Oh, yeah. No, they would.
That you are.
They would absolutely put one up.
Okay.
Now, they probably would play more like 1.5, but.
Well, that's kind of what we did, actually.
Yeah.
They
would put one up.
All right. This was on our poll, but we knew no one really was going to vote for it. Celebrity. I put celebrity in air quotes. Boxing.
Right.
We're going to see an exhibition matchup between. Yes. That, too. Between Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a heavyweight matchup because they both weigh over 205 pounds, so it's a heavyweight matchup.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And I don't know, man. Do you remember when there was a TV show actually called Celebrity Boxing?
No.
There was. I think actually Tanya Harding was in it. Manu Bol, I believe, was in it at some point. But there was a TV show called Celebrity Boxing.
Okay.
And on a lack of a better term, blame these like YouTube stars that we see with, you know, Jake Paul and these guys that are getting into boxing and taking on former mixed martial artists. And, you know, Nate Robinson fought one of them. I don't know if that's the reason why we're seeing this, because there is money coming around it because of the number of viewership and there are people that are paying money to see it and to sponsor it. So maybe it's just the money that's coming around it, but I don't get it. Just this whole celebrity boxing thing. I don't get it.
Well, I'm with you. Boxing at its best, and I grew up in an era where it's at the end of Ali, but it was more known for Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, Duran, more the lower weight classes, right? I was youth watching boxing at the end of Ali, the Larry Holmes era. Tyson was a fascination who burned out too quickly. And once he lost to Buster Douglas, it was basically over. And then we were left with George Foreman, Evander Holyfield to an extent, who was more cruiserweight than heavyweight. But either way, I can't watch like bad boxing. Look, maybe Le'Veon Bell versus Adrian Peterson would be great. I would take Peterson in that fight. I would take Peterson. Can I wager on it?
You probably can, actually.
All right, I might wager on it.
I don't know. It is an exhibition, so I don't know if you're allowed to legally bet on exhibitions in boxing. I'm not entirely sure because I don't know if it has to be certified by a state athletic commission. I'm not entirely sure how that all works out.
It's a good point.
But because it's not technically a pro fight.
To find out if we can wager on it.
But it takes place at the end of next month. I believe it's when the date is set. I know Le'Veon Bell has trained in the offseason for football, doing boxing. So that is something that has always been part of his training. I don't know about Adrian Peterson, but I'm not surprised to see Adrian Peterson's name here because, sadly, Peterson needs the money.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got millions of dollars in debt. Because he got into some bad investments and actually ended up taking some bad loans out.
Yeah, probably.
And just unfortunately hasn't been able to pay him back. So he's been in financial trouble for the last 10 years. He's been in financial trouble, which is a shame for seeing someone that was at the peak of the sport in terms of his position.
Peterson was just a stud for a long time.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, Le'Veon Bell, he's only 30. He hasn't, didn't play much last year, but he took that year off from, you know, didn't want to sign that franchise tag. He didn't want to sign that second franchise tag with Pittsburgh, and then took a year off and been downhill ever since.
That was probably a mistake to take a year off from football and basically give away, what was that, like $14
million? Oh, it would have been more than that,
17?
I think.
It was 17. So give back that money, but he was looking for a long-term deal that he didn't get, ultimately got it from the Jets, and then stunk. And
I
now
think the Jets
out.
Ruined him.
Yeah, I think taking a year off of football ruined him.
That too.
I really do. I think that's what ruined him. Like, the Jets would have ruined him if he was the same when he got to the Jets. He was not.
Speaking of money, Formula One's getting a lot more of it from ESPN. ESPN has extended their deal with Formula One through 2025. Somewhere in the range of $75 to $90 million a year.
Yeah, it was like $25 million the last time.
No, it was a three-year, $15 million, just $5 million a year, like a three-year, $15 million contract. You're signing like a number four defenseman.
It's incredibly, incredibly user-friendly. Look, as a kid, that I grew up watching open wheel racing, not NASCAR. You know, whether it was IndyCar, but the Grand Prix. Were, to me, way more interesting. The car's cooler.
Yeah, the open wheel is pretty neat.
And, of course, the show, what I remember the name of the show on Netflix.
The thing is Drive to Survive.
But that has just, the sport has exploded since then.
In a fun way.
Yeah. Not like the cars. The cars disintegrate.
They do, which is just wild. So Amazon, as we know, is taking over Thursday Night Football. They're rounding form for their NFL studio teams. They're adding former defensive back Aqib Talib, former offensive lineman Andrew Whitworth, and Carissa Thompson, who actually hosts Fox NFL Kickoff on Sundays, is going to be doing studio hosting on Thursdays as well.
Why do you need a studio for no other games?
I don't know.
Actually, they have a desk.
I think that's what it is, like a desk. A desk right. For halftime, pregame, postgame, that kind of thing. But
is it, was it Ryan Fitzpatrick going there, or is it Apple?
I think it was Apple.
Does Apple have an NFL deal?
I can't remember. I don't think they do.
No, they have baseball and they have MLS. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is also part of the Amazon crew in some way, shape, or form. I love the fact that Aqib Talib is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Talib is he is a very real voice of NFL football. Like, legitimately, as the kids say, he keeps it 100. He is an entertaining voice. So good for him.
So Fitzmagic will be in the broadcast booth.
For
Amazon.
Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit?
I believe that's who it is.
So it's Michaels, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and his beard, and Kirk Herbstreit.
I can only imagine what he's going to do, just how to dress up for these. Look, I'm for all the fun.
I bet he tones it down.
I think he's
gonna, I hope he doesn't, but I bet
ramp
he does.
It up. I hope he ramps it up even more. Speaking of broadcast, Peacock is actually going to be doing something a little bit different for their upcoming broadcast that they have on Sunday between the Tigers and Detroit, in Detroit taking on the Kansas City Royals. So they're going to be in Detroit as opposed to having an actual traditional booth. They're actually going to have kind of more like the, lack of a better term, the sideline reporters and some other people actually going around the stadium, giving you different camera views, different audio sound. They're actually going to be talking to different guests, even Detroit super fans and things along those lines during the broadcast, where you can still see the game, but that's what the commentary is going to be, as opposed to a traditional play-by-play voice.
Very nice.
I'm curious to see how this works out. Again, it's on Peacock, so I don't know what the viewership is going to be like, because it's the Tigers and Royals on Peacock. Okay. But I am all for experimenting and trying different things. My guess is they're going to try and do these things to test them out, see what people think, and then, okay, can we try this for football? Can we try this during basketball? I think that's what they're going to use these throwaway middle of the regular season baseball games to try and test things out. I think Apple has maybe tried some different things as well with Major League Baseball. Again, the sheer number of games being played in Major League Baseball, you can afford to have one or two games like this. Okay, if it's a mess, fine. You don't have to do it again. But I do like the experimentation of showing different viewpoints, talking to different people, as opposed to just two people sitting up in a booth.
Yeah, it's boring. We should have all of these things. We should like try different things. I'm not a USFL guy. I'm not an alternate football guy. Mm-hmm. I know the XFL is starting next year, although they did announce that the USFL would be coming back for another year. What I am looking for out of these leagues is just technology innovation.
Yeah.
How do we change the way we watch? Like, I actually think that we should have more athletes mic'd up during the game.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to air anything live. You'll play it back so that you get the whatever vulgarity is there. And we hope there's a lot of vulgarity. But we edit that out. And I just think it would be better. It would be better coverage. Mm-hmm. We have to keep people's interest in different ways now.
One of the best things Major League Baseball has done, at least I think it's ESPN that's been doing it, is just miking up players and talking to them during the game.
During the game.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
By the way, Premier Lacrosse League did it first. But that's fine. That's fine. But I actually like it just during play. Remember they had Jose Altuve during a game while he's standing there playing second base for the Astros. They're asking him about his journey. Like, yeah, I got overlooked. I was told not to come back to this tryout. Almost didn't come back.
How long has PLL been doing this?
Since they started in 2019.
Okay. The NHL All-Star Game. Mm-hmm. This probably goes back 8, 9, 10 years. I don't know. Ed Belfour was a goalie.
Yeah.
Belfour was mic'd up during play, and there was a player coming in on a breakaway, and Belfour kind of talked through it.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, we should have that. More of that.
I'm okay with it. The more access that we can get to players that they're willing to give us, the better. So I'm all for trying different things, different platforms. It's fun. Have you heard of John Boy Media?
Yes.
That's what the whole thing was. Like, there's the TV, the radio call. Here's the fan perspective.
Why can't we do this?
That's how it all started, and look where they are today.
Yep.
They're fun. All right, that's all I got.
145 or thereabouts every day. We place bets. I need to adjust the totals. We'll do that in a second. Because I figured out, just remembered that I had two losing wagers on the Colorado Avalanche, rather on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I will make that adjustment, and then we will place our bets. Dennis, let's do it.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
Still at plus 3,045 units.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, Jerry Kelly, for winning that Champions Tour event at plus 2,500 a few weeks ago. But you're fighting back. You're closing in on zero.
I'm chipping away. You know,
we're going to throw a party when you get into black figures.
I know. I'm going to get to a plus five. Just that's it. That's what I'm going to get to. I actually, in game six of the Cup Finals, I lost my futures bet with Tampa Bay to win the series at plus 450. But when they took a 1-0 lead in game six, I was like, all right, here we go. Nope.
Didn't work out.
But hey,
better team won.
I did call a game five win for Tampa.
You absolutely did. All right, sir, start us off.
Okay. For some reason, my bets here actually just got deleted off
Doc.
Did you delete my picks,
Hold
Adam?
On. Just you chill out.
To delete my picks?
Just chill out. They're back.
Okay, there it is. Aaron Judge.
I thought those were yesterday.
No, these are definitely today's. Aaron Judge, home run, plus 220. I had Anthony Rizzo, plus 380 yesterday, and he hit one right in the first inning.
Very nice.
So I'll take Aaron Judge, plus 220 today, hit a homer.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, as a matter of fact, I think set to start in about 10 minutes. Serena Williams makes her return to Wimbledon.
Oh, very nice.
Against a French woman named Harmony Tan.
Sure.
And she qualified. She went through qualifying to get in. Serena would face a seeded player in the second round. Serena got in on a wild card. She is unseeded. I'm going to say there will be a tiebreaker in the match. I mean, Serena may win this match in straight sets, but I'm going to say there will be a tiebreaker in the match at plus 250.
All right.
The only way to get any value out of this match. Serena's a big, well, she's a favorite. She's not a huge favorite.
Okay.
But she's a favorite. So we'll go, and I'm not betting against Serena. Not yet. Maybe in round two.
Maybe. All right. Sticking with the diamond, Dodgers, Rockies, Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers. I say he gets a win tonight, plus 145.
What? Oh, he actually gets a win. A decision.
Yes.
Not Dodgers win, but Clayton Kershaw
gets
wins.
The win.
I actually liked, not that I'm doing this, I actually liked the Rockies at plus money at home. So, just, I don't know why. Just kind of like the Rockies at plus money at home, but I'm not doing it. Here is my my second wager. Tomorrow, we have a really interesting match. Ryan Peniston is a pretty good collegiate player. He's a Brit playing at Wimbledon. But I'm going to go with a veteran American, Steve Johnson, to beat him at plus 124. That's tomorrow. So give me Steve Johnson at plus 124 to beat Ryan Peniston.
Okay. I'll take your word on that.
Wimbledon, man.
Okay.
What's the problem?
Nothing. I have no idea. I have no idea who
Wait. Wait. Dude.
I have no idea.
You make Premier Lacrosse League parlay wagers.
Yeah, I do.
Three times a week. You did Sunbelt Lacrosse.
It was SoCon, and
doesn't
I got
matter.
That pick
what
right.
What is the difference?
I got that
it
pick right.
It doesn't even matter. You're saying, well, nobody knows who these guys are. You're doing, like, obscure lacrosse games that might actually not be played.
It was High Point Richmond.
Again?
Those teams exist.
I don't. I've never seen them.
I don't know. You've picked...
What are you
like,
gonna,
fifth-tier what, English soccer.
I did. I did a... Champions League qualifying, the first round of qualifying, which are two teams that are just figments of your imagination. I get
yeah, exactly. It's like,
I get
do
it.
Those teams exist?
I won one of those wagers, though.
I know you did.
I did women's World Cup qualifying.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That. Countries that exist. All right, my final one, I'm going to go WNBA.
Okay.
Dallas Wings over the Minnesota Lynx, plus 130.
I like that. I just all I know is the Seattle Storm. I'm just a Seattle Storm fan.
There you go.
All right, now I'm going to do one golf wager. Liv.
Right. Oh, can you really?
Yes, you can.
Really?
We're going to go Liv in a playoff this week. It will be decided by a playoff at +330. Liv to go to a playoff.
Okay.
So it's like there are places that. You can bet on that. I mean, it's not fake. It's real.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way, shape, or form criticizing the event. This is what you will not hear me do. It's golf.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've said this before. For somebody who on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, when I'm doing stuff in the kitchen, I will put on the golf channel and watch European Tour golf. And that's what it looks like. You just have to watch it on your laptop. That's what it looks like. It looks like European Tour golf. And if anybody's watched European Tour golf, like, that is what it is. It's not particularly thrilling, but it's golf. And that's okay. That's all right.
This is the Adam Gold Show.